Hey, this is Kirby Chambliss. You've been listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
We are back, everybody. Welcome to Verbal Shenanigans Podcast. I believe episode 278, Mike. Mike, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Scott, it's a privilege and an honor for all of you to listen to me. That's all I know.
Here he goes. Here we go. Here comes God Complex Berlew. the Luke Duke of the podcast, if you will.
Yes. Episode 278. So, big thumbs up to my people in the 278, up in Massachusetts. We're repping you tonight.
You're shouting out area codes at this point.
I feel that's street enough for me. I feel that's in my wheelhouse, if you will.
I mean, generally, when people look at you, they think this is a real street kind of guy. That's kind of the vibe you give off.
Absolutely. I mean, when the people hear this voice, they just see this guy just walking alone like a soldier through the streets of New York saying, ooh, watch out for this guy, don't start trouble with this man.
So now people are afraid of you in the streets. Is it maybe like so when you were in Disney here and you had these personalized Disney shirts, people were afraid of you?
Yeah, I mean, I will tell you a little side story. When one of our ports was in the main island, the Bahamas. We weren't going to go out, but I saw there was a brewery there, and I'm like, well, just one of those things. I have to hit it, put stuff on my untapped app. But as we were walking back to the boat, one of the locals, as they were trying to sell, you need taxi service, you want Cuban cigars, I'm like, no, we're good. One of them finished the conversation by saying, big man, you're too old for that Mickey shirt.
Hey, so when you turned him down of his various offers, he just decided to just slay you with a diss.
Yeah. And I didn't want to start an international incident. My wife was there, so I just kept going. But, Bahamas, you're on warning.
I'm like a bird. Let's jump into that in just a second. But, guys, if you're just tuning in, that is Mike. And I like how I say, if you're just tuning in, like a podcast, they're not tuning in like a radio station. You guys are probably playing this on some kind of app or off the site or something. But
I'd like to imagine all of our fans just start the podcast and immediately go to like minute 732,
I feel like
just like
what people do is definitely they turn us on and see what guest we have on and probably scrub through the entire beginning part of the show and then end it the minute the guest says goodbye.
Pretty close to it and all. They're like, all right, they're just going to talk about each other for a minute, and then they'll listen to the end for like 3 seconds to hear some weird story, and they're like, that's typical Mike and Scott, and then they're like, bye-bye.
Yeah. This is Verbal Shenanigans, a weekly podcast. You can tune in every Monday or so, and 2020's been off to a great start. Mike, before we get into your little vacation, are you coming off of your Tom Wopat high?
It's Nirvana right now, Scotty. I've met the main Duke boys. I'm not too Vance, unfortunately, passed away. I'm not too worried about Coy. We could try to find Gaylord Duke, who was the Duke of Dukes from England for one episode.
There was a Duke from England?
Yes, one of the cousins was... The episode was called Duke of Dukes.
And this was worse? This was better than the alien episode you described in our last episode?
Well, the alien one is just classic, just something that I... It always pops into my head, and like I still recall as like a child, like when they were in high reruns, like it coming up and like almost wondering if I had like a fever kind of reaction where I'm like, did I just see what I think I saw? Because you always get that tonight on the Dukes, and then you see, and then they're going through the theme song, and you're like, is this where we're going tonight? Is this what we are now?
And if you have no idea what we're referring to, last week we had Tom Wopat of the famously of the Dukes of Hazzard and various other things like Django Unchained. But Mike here is a he probably has more Dukes of Hazzard knowledge than most living people at this point.
You know, I'm trying to get more than the dead people too, Scott. But dare to dream.
Have you found any stations still airing the show? Like, have you been flipping around the channel and been like, oh man, like there it is? Or is it pretty much all like you got to go find it or play your DVDs or stream it from somewhere at this point?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. I haven't looked for the show in a while. I remember when there was the Nashville Network or the Country Music Channel that used to be on that, but right. I mean, I pay all this money for AT&T U-verse. Let me try to see if I can find the good old Dukes here and all. Don't say anything, Scott. I think the audience wants to stay in suspense as I search through my remote control.
So, here, guys, this is a new bit. It's called Channel Surfing with Mike. And we basically keep radio silence as he talks about his search for TV shows from 40 years ago. This is really pulling in the listeners.
I got to say off the bat, I'm not liking my chances, Scotty. As I put in Dukes, I get Brian Dukes, David Dukes, DeQuince Dukes, Inside Basketball with Dukes Coach K, and James Madison Dukes. I'm guessing when I put the of in.
Yeah. Isn't it true that your favorite Duke is David Duke?
He was not in the show, even though some of his thought process would make people think he could have been like the recurring character, like the evil Black Duke that helps out Boss Hogg, maybe. But it doesn't look like it's on anywhere on the AT&T U-verse.
Oh, man. So we're close to maybe wrapping up a chapter, a long chapter of the Dukes on actual television anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it happens and all, and considering streaming services, I'm sure there's a streaming service I can find my fix, if you will.
I hope it's an individual, like, just Duke the Hazard feed that you got to pay, like, $7.99 a month for.
$19.99, and I get the behind-the-scenes commentary from Catherine Bach. Sign me up!
You get text updates from Cooters.
Hey, it's your friend Cooter. Four people came in today in Tennessee to the shop. Talk to you next week.
Thanks for your support. Well, Berlo, like I said, if there was ever some kind of trivia challenge, I really think you would hold your own in a Dukes of Hazzard showdown, but. So now you've gotten to talk to both guys, which is probably something that most of you weirdo Duke fans have never gotten to do. So you hold the ace card in your pocket.
Well, what about the non-weirdo Duke fans, Scott? I mean, don't alienate them all 14, 15, 16, 17. Yeah, almost 20. I mean, they're getting there.
Yeah. All right. So let's jump into this for a second. So... You are back from vacation. You look well rested. You look,
thank you.
You look like you you're back to take on the world and really mm-hmm. ready to address your legions of fans weekly again and you know, get things going. So Berlo, about a year ago or so, you had said that I'm putting my foot down and we are, the next trip we're going on is my choice.
Yeah. when I'm trying to think if I said it right before the episode when I came back, the synopsis of how this trip came about was it was a little bit after the wedding, actually. I recall, like, and we were lucky enough to have all five of us in Spurlou's, my parents, my brother, my sister, and we were chatting about stuff. And, like, one of the, like, lines I said is, can we all agree that the next time we're all in the same room, one of us is not dead? And,
jeez.
Well, it's kind of true. Well, my sister was living in Jersey at the time, right. And it's one of those, you know, hey, let's do a Jersey trip. My brother does most of his money's independent contracting. He sells at auctions and does other stuff, so he can't just say, boss, I'm not coming in tomorrow. Obviously, I was just starting a job at the time when I said the statement, so it wasn't a guarantee of I'm flat out stable and everything. So it was just one of those, you know, let's make sure we're a family, we actually get together. And one of the things we were saying was maybe we'll take a cruise together, all of us. And I think about a month after that, my wife called me with my sister on the line, and she was talking about, shocker, the Disney Cruise Line.
Now, for those of you who need any context to this story, this might be the first time you're listening, Mike's wife is what would you say, obsessed, Mike? Is that enough?
Disnerd, I believe, is the official term, I believe, out there in the world. Disnerd, a Disney obsessive person. Yes.
does this make you a Diz dude at this point?
No, but I'm copywriting it just to see if I can get something out of this.
Okay.
I think that will fly on the t-shirt, but continue.
Well, this dude works. Okay, so you guys...
Wait a minute, I'm a Diz Duke.
Oh, God. All right, guys, let's get to their guest. God.
You set me up, Scott.
I don't think we can make it to 300. We're so close, but it's so...
Scott just throws in the towel like Wilder, and I'm like, nope, can't take one more.
23 more hours seems like a really long time. okay, so you plan, so carry on. You plan this cruise how?
Well, we were chatting about it, and like my wife's like, you know, because my sister has like a 6-year-old boy, and she's like, you know, they do all these cruises, and we might be able to do it. My parents' winter in Florida, about 2 hours from Orlando. So the thought process is this might be the easiest way to do it. And I kind of said, you know, I'll think about it or something like that. And I'd like my chances of not worrying about it, the fact that, you know, my parents were just like, pretty much no, they didn't. They had no desire to do a Disney cruise, mainly because they think, you know, they think the Disney part, oh, the trip is going to be nothing but kids and we're not going to enjoy ourselves.
Yeah.
And my brother, like I said, he does so many independent stuff to make ends meet. I knew the odds on him being available to do a trip or wanting to do a Disney cruise were slim to none. But my wife kept on persisting, you know, oh, maybe your sister will do it, blah, blah, blah. And long story short, even after she dropped out magically, we booked the cruise and the trip for this year. But I do have my vacation in 2021.
Was there any chance of doing a cruise that was not Disney themed?
I mean, if we could have got the family together, yeah, I would have been aiming for that or whatever and saving up for it. It was just. I guess when this idea came out there, I should have said right off the bat, and all those in favor are not Disney, raise your hand. So all my family would raise their hand in front of my new wife.
Right.
Kind of prove a point, but I allowed traction to happen, and So be it. We went on a Disney cruise.
Okay, so give us the insight into what one experiences on a Disney cruise. What is immediate things you would notice that might be different than a normal cruise?
I mean, it's hard for me to compare to a normal cruise just because this is my rookie trip on a cruise, if you will.
Right.
You know, when you come to the port, it's all Disney stuff. I mean, it's still going through your paperwork and documentation like a regular cruise. They're making extra sure you didn't have a short trip in Hong Kong before coming on this cruise boat. But, you know, they have Mickey and Minnie.
They're like, hand me your passport.
Oh, you're coughing, huh? You're not getting on my ship.
Oh, quarantined.
No refunds. That's the magic of Disney cruises.
We can. But, would you like to purchase a mask for $19.99?
And my wife's like, let's do it. It has Rapunzel on it. But
see all the Disney characters on the ship wearing masks.
Oh, it's theme night.
I can't hear you, Donald.
You go through your usual stuff. I mean, they have some characters come out to take pictures of people before they get on the boat. When you get on the boat, I don't know if more cruise ships do this, but basically there's somebody there to ask your name and announces, and coming to the ship, the blah, blah family. And of course, our person decided to announce us as the Barlows instead of the Burlows. I was literally like walking. I'm like, no, 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 this is my one shot. No.
The Barlows.
I mean, for Disney ships, I mean, what they do great is they have activities for literally every single group whatsoever. They have literally a split off spot where only 18 year olds and older could be at. So you literally go over there, you're sitting in the hot tub, you're not hearing 8,000 children screaming or anything like that. They have a huge theater where they do like Broadway productions on every night.
Now what about the clientele? So I'm picturing we have a lot of jazzies and stuff in Disney World, and then you get a lot of that on a cruise in general. And I'm thinking, if you combine the two, what are we seeing? Levels of obesity that are just out of this world.
I didn't see too much like over the top. Whoa.
You no turkey really legs can... everywhere.
No. Yeah. Yeah. No. Pretty much it's like a Comic-Con on the river and everybody's going Disney theme. Everybody's got Disney shirts. They everybody had specialized cruise shirts. Like you mocked me for saying you have matching shirts going on your cruise.
Yes.
Yeah. Literally the entire ship and every human being that comes on has their own personalized cruise shirt with some form of cruise and Disney on it. Some Mickey ears, something like that to say, hey, everybody who knows what this is what it is.
So before you back when I first met you, you were not a big picture guy, right? You were, you didn't take a lot of
Very money. Rarely. Never opened my mouth whatsoever.
Right, right.
If I had to take one, but I'm usually the one trying to sneak in the background of a picture.
Yes. Correct. I kind of the same way. I'm not a massive picture guy. I don't mind a group shot, something like that, but I'm not, So somewhere through this evolution now we went through this when you went to Disney World or whatever, pictures with characters, things like that. Now this seems to have escalated to levels of hundreds, it seems, of pictures of you with characters and dogs and the guy from Up and everything else on this. What happened?
Yeah, well, I will parlay up. That was, we did, basically our trip was, we showed up there on Saturday. We did the Saturday just kind of, we didn't go in the park. We met up with a local friend. We went on the Disney boardwalk and went to a brewery there. Sunday was Animal Kingdom, where, yes, I took pictures with the kid and dog from Up.
Did you? Now, do you have the same reaction you have to people in dog costumes as you do to real dogs?
No, definitely not. I think I'm getting more comfortable with the fact that it's like, all right, everybody here is doing this. I've met enough couples where it's like, yeah, we don't have kids. We're doing this. I've been able to kind of relax on that. The ship, that was probably the most pictures I took in my lifetime within a 4-day cycle.
Yes. Like I'm scrolling through, I see Mickey, I see Minnie, I see the Lion King, I see just lots of stuff here.
Yeah. Because the wife got the picture package. So on your Disney Cruise app, you basically have a listing of like all the activities and whatever. And what's also listed is every photo opportunity. So they have about six Disney princesses. They have Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Daisy, Olaf, Pluto, basically every character. And then top it, every night is a different night. So it's the same characters in a new costume. So there's a new set of pictures to go out. So I probably easily was in, if I had to guesstimate, 500 pictures in 4 days. Oh, and not God. Even like, let's take a picture. It's like being in line waiting for them.
At any point did you think of hurling yourself off the side of the boat?
I don't think so. Like you said, I mean, I think I've got enough time on the road, if you will, where I'm
right.
kind of used to it. Like in my brain, it's like, it's if you go back to the episode where I came back from the first vacation, yeah, that confused me, where I actually brought up, like, Izzy would be like, oh, Donald's there. It's like, well, we already had Donald. Yeah, but Donald's in like a Caribbean hat. I'm like, what's the difference? So that kind of thing kind of blew my mind, where this one, it's like, I understand it. They're going to be in different costumes. We had a pirate night one night, so all of them were out the in their uniform. Night. Yeah, so.
Yeah, so yeah. Here's the part. Now we have shirts now, right? We have shirts mm-hmm. that were made for you. You have not one, but you have many different Disney shirts. And then a full pirate costume.
I didn't have a full pirate. I had a custom shirt that Izzy got from Etsy.
Okay.
For pirate theme. She gave me Mickey Mouse ears specifically for pirates. And I just wore like a regular chain. It's a chain I got from going out to Cooperstown. It's like a penny. It's an insignia, is a baseball, if you will. But yeah, the full night is just pirate space. I have like a big pirate party on the top deck where they first it's the characters coming out saying, we're gonna be pirates, ha ha, and like Captain Hook comes out and they duel, if you will, and Mickey wins, and then later on
way to blow it.
Yeah spoiler, Captain Hook still Ofer in the Disney universe. Then later, Jack Sparrow comes out, and then they have this whole thing where they bring kids up, and it's like, what would you do with a lazy sailor? And they just come up with answers, and they have to come up with, like, songs with it. Like, some kids said something like, eat a sour pickle, and you could tell the wheels were, like, turning in their heads. They're like, what the hell is going to rhyme with pickle, and so forth. But that was kind of fun, and Disney's the only one to do fireworks on cruises, so it's kind of cool. They had, like, a real legit fireworks show. Our waiter told us exactly where to sit, so we literally were in the perfect position to watch all the fireworks shootout.
Now since you've been exposed to this now for a couple years, and mm-hmm. the shirts and the pictures and the are you at this point just completely conditioned where you don't even think about this, or at any point are you ready to blow your head off?
I think I'm fine. I mean, like, it's part of the Disney thing. I always like, I'm a theme park kind of guy, so I like roller coasters, stuff like that. So we did Space Mountain, we did Expedition Everest over in Animal Kingdom. So all those things are well and good. Like I said, I've been conditioned to a point where it's like, it's not a big deal to take pictures or whatever. And Izzy knows a lot of friends in Florida, so we meet different people and chat out stuff and so forth. I would say the cruise, I would highly recommend to people. I will say, if you're going on a cruise, when you go to an island, if you're not going to do expeditions on the island, you want to do your planning and figure out what you want to do if you want to get off the boat. Because, like, I've always read about how people take these cruises and don't get off the island. I'm like, well, that's stupid. Why are you going on a boat to a new country and saying you don't want to get off the island, off the boat, I mean? But I kind of get it. Like, when they just pour in the Bahamas, it's just like regular Bahamas. So that country is basically based solely on like travel money, all these passengers coming out on boats, right, taking tourism, flights and yeah. so forth. So their whole economy is based on, hey, American, you want to go here? Hey, American, you want to go there? So there's stuff like, you want to make sure you can bargain, you have cash on you, not just credit cards and so forth, and do stuff like that. Like when we went to the Disney specific island of the Bahamas, Castaway Cay, that's relaxation. That was, got to sit on the beach, beautiful blue waters, not dealing with anybody again to do.
No characters like, you want some lotion?
I made my mistake. I did all my arms and face or whatever. Didn't do my shoulders, and I got, I don't want to say badly burned, but decently burned. It's one of those, like, I recognize, okay, it's burnt back there, but it wasn't like, oh, I'm in agony. But
so you couldn't get, like, course, Gaston to, like, rub you down with lotion or, like, really?
No, no.
Oh, let me get that spot for you.
Yeah, but I will say my wife keeps up her streak of, when I get sunburn, to accidentally punch me in the absolute worst place. And she did it twice to me.
Oh, nice. You sure it's an accident?
Yeah. Yeah. What's that?
You sure it's an accident?
It seems like that. The first time was at we did like a small animation thing where they teach you how to do drawings of a couple characters, and hers looked wonderful and mine looked like I'm a 5-year-old. So they have an intro where it's like, here's the first 50 full-length Disney animation movies. And a picture came up, and you go through the trees, and then you see this lion and a brain fart. I'm like, oh, Jungle Book. And she's like, Jungle Book punched me, like, what are you doing? Right in, like, the most sensitive spot on my shoulder where I'm literally, like, gritting my teeth, seething, trying to keep it in because I know it's an accident, but at the same time, it's agony.
Why did she hit you? Because you said Jungle Book?
It was a Lion King.
Oh, what
a... You see a lion, yeah, a brain fart, you say Jungle Book, and she's like, it's Lion King, and she punched me in the shoulder. Then another thing I noticed, apparently, like, hotel and cruise air conditioning always get me sick. They dry out my throat, so I usually always come back with, like, a frog in my throat. So I fell asleep, and I guess they kind of, things closed up, and I couldn't really breathe, so I literally woke up to choking.
Oh, nice.
And I could barely breathe, so she wakes up, and she has a little anxiety, and she's like, calm down, and she slaps my back to get me to
perfect.
And, like, right at the same spot.
Now, now, when you had your all these various Disney outfits, did you were these packed for you? Did you even know, or did you like open your suitcase and you were like, okay, well, I guess this is what I have to wear today?
The cruise ship one, I didn't originally know. I knew she got something for Pirate Night. I purposely
Pirate Night.
I purposely packed my other Disney ones because I'm like, if I don't, I know she'll bring up. What about our wedding Disney shirt and our Halloween Disney shirt and our Flag Day Disney shirt and stuff like that? So I came prepared in that sense.
Oh, good. So when's the next time you're gonna say you're gonna be in Disney?
So as you know, we're runners, and in fact, this Sunday we're doing a half marathon in Atlanta. There's a thing called Run Disney.
Oh, shocking.
Yeah, in 2021. And the one we're going to is called the Princess Marathon. So I will be doing the 5, 10, and half marathon with my wife in the Princess Marathon weekend.
Wow. I remember you, Mike. Yeah. I remember this Mike who was into horror movies and weird glass heads, and now he's doing princess marathons and custom Disney outfits.
Yeah, I remember that Mike. You know, he was a good guy.
Yeah, he was all right.
Yeah, I mean, I will at least say, I mean, we're doing it a little more in the cheap. We're not going to do any of the parks. We're just going to like run around and check out the resorts, and they have Disney Springs, which is kind of like a mall off the ocean, which is fun. But the whole I'm not doing Disney every year thing, that because the next 2 years is Run Disney, then apparently there's a group one in 2023 that we're going to do.
Jesus Christ. Well, you guys mark this down when he says, yeah, we're not going to see the resorts and whatnot. Okay, we'll check in with you in about a year, and we'll see how this changes and what happens. You know there are other parts of the world to see. You know this, right?
Yeah, well, I have said this many times, and that has been my argument every single time. Now, we will be planning a Vegas trip in 2021, which will be fun, and then I will also be choosing the destination of 2022, possibly Louisiana, possibly Texas, places I haven't been.
I can't wait. You're like, yeah, Vegas, baby. And all of a sudden we see pictures of the Vegas Disney resort that no one some Disney.
When did this go on? Well, I sent a letter to John Disney and
well, Mike, you certainly you certainly aim to please. I will give you that. I hope you wear. Yeah. You have your custom Disney pajamas on tonight, and you.
I just want to remind everybody. Like I said, when I walk through the streets, I'm an intimidating man.
Yeah.
People get scared when they see me, and just because I'm wearing an Olaf sweater while this is happening doesn't make it any less threatening.
Well, Berlo. I'm glad you had fun, but now we need to talk to a real man now. You know, all this Disney talk and princess runs is really softening the show. We need to turn the dial and bring on someone that can really pull some testosterone into the show at the moment, because
should I bring up that we had a princess cake when we went to the Magic Kingdom?
Oh God, guys, this is Mike's last episode. So please write your comments in the iTunes and wish him farewell as he starts the Disney podcast with his wife in the next week.
I don't know. There could be money in that. Hold up.
Oh, Jesus Christ. So it's guest time here. Now, very excited about our guest. I actually hinted at it a couple weeks ago. He has been on the show twice before. And he's absolutely one of my favorite people to talk to. I think it was last week. 2 weeks ago. We were talking about we were doing a little Mount Rushmore bit on some of our favorite guests of all time. And I had to put this guy on the list because he's truly one of my favorites. And he's always interesting to talk to and just like a real a real man's man, Mike, if you will. And that is the one and only Kirby Chambliss.
I can't debate that. I mean, Red Bull pilot, done plenty of events, done crazy stunts. If you went back to our Aaron Fitzgerald interview of Red Bull helicopter pilot, we talked about how the two of them coordinated a stunt together.
Yep.
Always a fascinating, fun interview to chat with him.
Yes, so let's get our good friend, Mr. Kirby Chambliss, on the line. All right, we are, Mike. It's a pleasure. We're rolling with three timers on the show here. We had Zoltan on about a week ago, 2 weeks ago, and now we have returning to the show our favorite pilot, Kirby Chambliss. How the hell are you?
I'm doing all right. How about yourself? Everybody doing good?
We're doing good. We're hanging in there. We're still doing this thing here, and we're very glad that you said yes to us again. So
always happy to talk to you guys. You know, we've been busy. Air show season's kind of started up, and we've got a Luke Air Show coming up here, which is kind of our home show, and back down to Del Rio, and we get really cranked up and got a lot of shows this year, so we're excited about that and just gonna stay busy.
Yeah, I mean, so I gotta start. I saw on Twitter about I guess 2 months ago or a month ahead, that the Red Bull Air Racing is kind of folding, calling it quits. Correct?
Yeah. So at least from Red Bull side, I've been told that a Chinese investment company has purchased it. And what I'm hearing now, from emails and stuff and talking to people, that they're going to crank it back up to end of this year, into 2020. So
we'll
see what happens. I mean, yeah, so we'll see what happens. And, I'm not sure whether I'll be involved in it or not. I hope so. We'll see. But, we'll just see how it all shakes out. I mean, it's a really cool event. And, I'm a big promoter of aviation and general aviation, and I think it's one of the coolest things out there. So, I hope that they do bring it back.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that, and the first thing I thought of, I know we've had you on the cast twice before, and we talked a lot about, what goes into the first thing I thought of was, when this does get canceled, and I thought of how, it's not just you in this plane, it's this team behind you of engineers and mechanics and people helping you out and whatnot. So it's really, it impacts a lot of people. So if this does end up being canceled and whatnot, do those people kind of follow you to your air show career and the other things you're doing, or is that pretty much a blow to the entire team?
I mean, it's a little, for sure it's a blow to the entire team. I mean, some people will continue with me as far as, for the air show side of it.
Yeah.
But, like our aeronautical engineer and stuff, and, he's amazing. But, tacticians and stuff, you don't, need them for the air show business. But, most of them, are so good that they've, got other avenues that they'll be able to, head down. And, like my tactician, he's also a professor at Cal Poly, so he's got that, and so he's busy and breaking speed records and doing all kinds of things. And the technician's been with me for 16 years, and he's decided he's going to be an airline pilot, so he's flying for SkyWest now and still working on our airplanes and stuff. And so like I said, some will stay and some not, and it seems to everybody's been able to kind of find a place.
That's good.
Out of curiosity, is there a different mindset you have in getting ready for one of the Red Bull competitions versus an air show? Does it feel any different? Do you get any butterflies, or do you prepare in any strange different ways between the two?
Yeah, I mean, somewhat. I'm always, I kind of look at when I'm flying an air show kind of more like an artist, and I've got the airplanes, my paintbrush, and the sky's the canvas, and I'm trying to paint that perfect picture and want people to, leave there going, God, I've never seen a plane do that, And the race is just different. I mean, it's a race, so you're going against the clock. It doesn't matter what anybody says or anything else, you're pushing that clock, and you're trying to figure out ways to shorten it up and
sometimes it's frustrating because, you know, you haven't been able to, on a specific track, figure out, you know, why you're a quarter of a second, you know, slower than this guy or whatever. And, you know, so there's that side of it. And, you know, with the air shows also, we have a kind of a saying, hey, you live, you win, you know, so it's just different, you know, it's just two totally different kinds of flying. And, I enjoy both of them. You know, I enjoy the racing side of it because, you know, my whole background is competition aerobatics. I raced motocross as a kid. I mean, I love competing and, you know, I like to win. But the air show side of it, I do enjoy display flying. And, you know, so I'm fortunate enough to, you know, Red Bull's kind of backed me in both of those, you know, things. So, you know, I still have that. And so, yeah, I mean, I like, again, you know, we'll probably do 18 shows this year. And so we'll still be busy. But will I miss the racing? Yeah, I probably will.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've talked about on this before. I was talking about with Mike before. I'm not a big racing guy as far as NASCAR or anything like that, but even when the way they were able to do the coverage of the Red Bull Air Racing, I found really awesome. Like the way they were able to put the kind of the ghost image of the plane who's in front or behind, like they did a really nice job with that. So it did intrigue even someone who's, you know, not the biggest race guy in the world. And I thought it was a sport that definitely had so much potential. So I really do hope it kind of reinvents itself again. But so I was thinking, I don't know if we ever talked about it with you, but if we did, you can tell me. But when you do these air shows and these races, and you got weeks leading up, what is the practice time like? And where do you do? Do you do that out of an airport? Do you have a space that you're able to get runs in? How does that work?
Yeah, so the races is different. I mean, you know, we can still go out and pull G's. Like, I have wavered airspace, you know, in my backyard. I think you know that. And so I can take off, roll upside down, do whatever I want to do, right. All 100% legal right in my own backyard. So I'm fortunate that way. As far as, you know, so for, you know, going practice and air show stuff, it's great. I mean, I can do exactly what I'm going to do at an air show right here at my house. The racing side's a little bit different, you know, because, you know, you'd have to have, if you had the gates, you'd have to have, you know, a team of 20 people, air gators and timing and all these things. And, you know, when you're talking a fraction of a second, you know, and you're being, you know, basically, you know, did you make that wings level or not? Well, they're looking at you with a, you know, cameras that have 1500 frames a second, and they know. And to be quite frank, I mean, if you're, you know, just barely making the gate and just rolling wings level for that fraction of a second that you're going through, and it's kind of like, I mean, did you make it or not? You know, I mean, you know that you did on the track because there, you got a guy looking at you 1500 frames a second. You think you might have, but you could actually reinforce, like, you know, just that you were actually rolling wings level after you'd gone through the gate. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's real hard to kind of set that up to practice, but we still go out, you know, even before a race, and, you know, you're pulling G's to make sure that your G tolerance is really high once you get on the track. And, you know, you try to visualize it and, you know, you're walking through it. So, I mean, you do a lot of preparing, but you can't really just go out and, you know, I don't have the track in my backyard that I can go out
and
see how many times and run this track, you know? So, and everything's different. I mean, you know, even though the track on paper is this, even if you were able to duplicate the track somehow, when you get out there, you know, I mean, half the time it's in the water and it's on a barge and, you know, those, you know, these 60-foot sails and, you know, the ropes are holding the barge and they do a really good job of keeping them. But imagine, you know, if you turn that gate, you know, the whole barge, only 10 degrees. Well, it's a huge difference for us, you know, so on how you're going to approach that. And so, again, it would be really difficult or almost impossible to set up that same track, you know, what you're going to run across when you get to Japan or Abu Dhabi or Turkey or wherever, you know, the track happens to be.
Now, a few weeks back, we were lucky enough to talk with Aaron Fitzgerald, one of the Red Bull Flying Bulls. We talked about how, just like looking up on him, we saw that you did a stunt with them. Out of curiosity, is it much harder to be trying to play around and do stunts when we're talking about different types of vehicles in the air, or is it just pretty much the same as flying out there in their airplane?
No, for sure it's different. You know, it's just, I mean, I fly around our wingsuiters too, and so that's different. Yeah. I was on a formation team and for several years, and I flew a just similar airplane. The guy flew a Super Chipmunk, and then I flew a Pip Special, and when it would accelerate, and I'd be decelerating. But it's definitely different, you know. I mean, you know, that was different in itself. If you have a similar airplane or almost identical, it makes formation flying much, much easier, like if you're doing the Blues or the Thunderbirds. I mean, those airplanes are pretty much identical, and so that does definitely make it easier. And that's not to say that it's easy. I mean, I'm just saying that it does make it easier when you do have similar airplanes. So the helicopter, I mean, you know, it can go over anywhere from, you know, basically stop or even going backwards to, you know, maybe 110, 120 knots, and is about max speed. Well, so, you know, I can just about hover the airplane myself, but I can't quite do that. But there's things that we're able to do that, you know, you probably couldn't do with an airplane versus an airplane. So that's what you try to do, is you try to just maximize the, you know, cool things that you can do. And, you know, and then the other ones that you can't, you don't do them. So it's the same as with the, yeah, you know, the skydivers. I fly around them when they're in the wingsuits. But, you know, we have a great time, and, you know, everybody's super professional. And, you know, I enjoy that side of it, and being able to, you know, being able to fly with my friends in a show, and also to show something we do that is different, because, you know, nobody else has got a helicopter airplane act that they're doing together. And
me and Mike are working on one. Yeah. You should see it.
I'm
still looking for the on button for this helicopter, but
yeah, well, you got to get the skydivers and all that too, so good luck with that.
we got loyal fans that will volunteer.
Perfect.
So we were talking to Aaron and he was saying how, you know, it's just almost like a, you know, camaraderie among pilots and helicopter guys, and like where they're talking and coming up with these ideas, and to be able to put them into motion, whether filming them, something as fast as a plane, and coordinating skydiver. Give us a peek behind the curtain. What is it like? Like, okay, I come to you, Kirby. I got this idea with a helicopter and a plane. Does it all just start with a conversation, like ideas, or do they have like some kind of like mapped out storyboard where like this is what happened, or like what is the conversation like when you guys go and create these amazing videos that you guys have put out?
Yeah, usually it's like, what are you crazy?
Yeah.
No, it's super fun. I mean, like I said, that, you know, everybody's got their discipline, and they're pretty familiar with, you know, Aaron's pretty familiar with what that helicopter's capable of. I'm pretty familiar with what this airplane's capable of, and our guys that are, you know, they're, you know, we're former world champion, and, you know, in their disciplines. And so, you know, you come up with an idea, and then you just ask the other guy, what do you think that's possible? Or what's your fall rate at this and that? And, you know, can you think we could match our speeds and doing different stuff? And then you just go out and try it. And, you know, we're lucky because, you know, I mean, I've got my playground right here with Wayward Airspace. So, you know, the guys can jump, and we can have the helicopter, and we can all do stuff together. And most of the time, this is our, you know, winter training site. And so, you know, with everybody together, and we try to spend, you know, 4 or 5 days together, and we've already thought of different things, you know, that we can try. And, you know, I mean, I'm always like, oh, you just think it'll kill me, but for sure it's not going to kill me. Okay, let's try it. No, I'm just kidding there again too. But, you know, you try to just go out there and just figure something out, you know, that's going to look cool. And sometimes it's crazy because sometimes things are really, really hard, you know, and you're like, that's going to be so cool. And then from the ground, they're like, eh. And then you'll do something super simple and they'll go, wow, that was so cool, you know. So it's all in also the perspective, you know, and you're like, well, this is the easiest thing I did. And they're like, it was awesome, you know. And so, you know, again, so it's nice even to have people on the ground, because, you know, that's where the spectators are going to be, that you're trying to, you know, paint that perfect, you know, picture or that perfect show for. And so you want their perspective too, and because that's who you're flying for as an air show.
You know, we talked a lot about, you know, with the racing and all your stunts, Joe. So let's kind of peel it back to the beginning for a little bit. I'm just kind of curious, when you were first getting into planes and doing stuff like that, like how easy was it to that first time you felt like a G, like taking off or whatever? Was it just like it was magic, or were you in the bathroom later that day?
You know, I'm so fortunate. I mean, though, so you know, I mean, I went through all the normal flying thing when I was a kid, you know, the U controls. They didn't have much RCs back then. They did, but we couldn't afford them for sure. And, you know, you had the U controls, and there was always, airplanes were always everything to me. And so, you know, I always knew that I wanted to be a pilot, just had to figure out how to do it. Well, fortunately, I went through the flight instructor and all that, and, you know, learned, was teaching people to fly, and then got a corporate job. When I was 21, I was flying a business jet, and our chief pilot, you know, I didn't know anything about aerobatics at the time, and our chief pilot said, hey, all my guys get, you know, I just gotten hired there. He goes, all my guys get aerobatic training. If the jet ends up upside down with the CEO on board, we want you to be able to fix it without killing everyone. And I thought, well, okay, makes sense to me. So I went out in an aerobatic airplane with Dwayne Cole, and we turned this, it was the Catflow, and we turned it upside down and then just was flying upside down. And I was just like, wow, this is the coolest thing ever. You know, I mean, I was just like, okay, forget about straight and level flying. I don't care about that anymore. All I want to do is aerobatics. And then, you know, I still had to go fly for the airlines in order to support my new habit, which was aerobatics, but I was full in, and I was for, you know, forever. And I mean, I'm still, you know, love it. I mean, but that's all I did. You know, it's like, basically if it didn't have anything to do with the flying or whatever, you know, a couple other subjects, I really didn't, almost kind of like, don't bother me with it. You know, I mean, everything, my whole focus was all about that. And so, you know, I still love it, and I still love to go out and fly, and, you know, fly aerobatics.
So I thought about you the other day, you know, airplanes and aircraft and helicopters, and here's things people take millions and millions of flights every day. We don't hear about anything. And then something like the Kobe Bryant thing happens, and immediately people are talking about the dangers of this. Meanwhile, we get in a car every day, and we drive, you know, basically in formation down a highway going, you know, there's accidents every day. When something like the Kobe Bryant tragedy happens, do people, like, say to you, like, oh, you, do they give you anything about, like, oh, you shouldn't be in a plane, it's dangerous? And it's got to be almost to the point, like, are you kidding me? Like, it's only when it's, you know, something big happens in the media. Do you get any of that?
Yeah, for sure I get that. And, you know, not too long ago, my sister called me up, and she's just like, you know, some things that happened and things like that. And she's like, I just don't know, you know, and you're going to go fly an air show the next weekend. You know, I just don't get it. And I'm like, well, yeah. You know, first of all, it's what I do. And I said, but Linda, try to put it in perspective. I'm like, have you ever, you know, driven by a really bad car wreck? And she's like, well, yeah. And I go, did you just stop the car and get out and walk home? She's like, well, no. And I'm like, exactly. I mean, somebody made a mistake. It's horrible, but it's just life, you know? I mean, right. Things happen, you know? So you got to kind of look at it that way, and you still got to enjoy your life, you know? I mean, if you don't enjoy your life, and, you know, I mean, first of all, none of us are going to get out of here alive anyway, probably. And the other thing is that, you know, if you're not enjoying your life, then what's the point anyway, you know? So I'm not saying that, you know, you go out and do crazy things or whatever, but, mm-hmm. you know, you do go out and enjoy your life. And, you know, and you know, everybody's definition of crazy and, you know, is always going to be different.
Right.
But, you know, I don't ever feel like I do crazy stuff. I do things that are calculated, you know. I mean,
yeah.
I've done it, you know, how do I know I can do it? I've done it a million times before, you know, and I've worked it down from high altitude to where low altitude, where I'm super comfortable with it. And that doesn't mean if something breaks on the airplane or, you know, God forbid, I make a, you know, bad mistake that, you know, you're not going to pay for it. But again, you know, it's nothing that you just go, oh, I'm going to go try that. You know, I mean, I've tried it 1,000 times up higher and done it and feel 100% comfortable with it. And I've done it, you know, more than 1,000 times in order to bring it down to low altitude where I can display it, you know, where the airplane's going end over end 5 or 6 times at 800 feet. Well, trust me. I mean, I've done that thing, you know, more than 1,000 times. I mean, just again and again and again and again.
Yeah.
And I feel so comfortable. It's like you're running down the sidewalk with your arms hanging out, you know, your arms. I mean, to me, that's how I feel with the airplane. I'm at one in the airplane, and the wings are just an extension of my arms. I feel that comfortable in it. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
Out of curiosity, I mean, do you have other hobbies? Is there any times, like, when, like, us calling you on the podcast or, like, people talk to you at a bar and keep on bringing up all your air stuff? You're kind of like, all right, I had a little enough of it. That's my work. Now this is out of plane, Kirby.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, I like to say I raced motocross as a kid. I still like riding. I don't get enough time to go do that. I mean, something that I enjoy, and I try to do it quite a bit, as I like to skydive. So you're like, oh, great. You know, but, you know, I always say, they're really like, how many jumps do you have? I go, I have one jump 1,200 times, and now it's the same jump again and again. I never learn anything, but I have a lot of fun. So, you know, I skydive a lot. My neighbor, you know, is where I get friends, and he loves to do it. And so he's an airline guy. And when we're both in town, we definitely go and jump and, you know, have fun that way. You know, my daughter is, you know, she's like for the indoor skydiving where you're doing it in the wind tunnel. As a matter of fact, she just took second at the Nationals and is going to go to Brussels, Belgium, you know, in order to be able to in the world championships for that. So I get to get in the wind tunnel with her. And I mean, I'm not good like she is, but I can fly head down and we get to fly together. And she's just like, Dad, really? Just do that. You know, and I'm like, I can't, you know.
So, you ever think about sitting and reading a book maybe or watching a movie?
Yeah. Like, is there a rocking chair anywhere in the Champlis facility?
No, that's for later, you know. It's kind of like, I'll let you sleep when I'm dead, you know.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you know, I want to enjoy my life. And so we'll try to keep it going fast pace. And so, you know, life's good.
That's awesome. I have one last question, kind of off topic, but so you have something like the new Top Gun movie coming out, right? And you see these previews with these really cool looking stunts, and when something like that comes out, do you guys is it hard as a pilot to not like overanalyze it and say what, oh God, like this, you know, I could do that or that's not even close to real? And the other side of that, do you guys see like a uptick in when something like that comes out in like interest in the air shows and aviation and whatnot?
I think there's probably an uptick, you know, as far as aviation goes. I mean, I my understanding is like, you know, the first Top Gun movie, I mean, the recruiting went crazy. And right. I love that kind of stuff. I mean, I just did all the flying last year for that movie, Six Under, you know, with Ryan Reynolds.
Out.
That's me doing the flying beforehand and
really
water skiing the airplane up at Lake Powell. That was all mine.
Oh, that's cool.
I did that side of it. So I get to do some of that. It's super fun. You know, I think that this movie, The Top Gun, I mean, I haven't seen it, obviously, but my understanding, I know some people that were working on that, and it's supposed to be really cool. And, you know, Tom Cruise, I mean, he's, you know, as we all know, pretty amazing actor, and he was really good in that. And, you know, what was the one, American Made? I mean, to me, that was awesome. And, you know, I understand he did a lot of the flying in that.
Yeah,
too.
That's what
so
I heard.
It was a pretty cool movie. And so, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, no matter what, I mean, you know, it's, you know, I mean, aviation's just, you know, it's fantastic either way. And, you know, to be able to, you know, put it on the big screen and to show a little something different, I mean, I think it's positive for it. And, you know, we need to get people excited about, you know, get them out, you know, these playing all these, you know, video games and all that inside and get them into a real airplane, because we still need airline pilots, you know, we need people to work on these airplanes. And, you know, I mean, you know, it's aviation. I mean, there's so many opportunities. And so I really am excited about that and getting young people into it. My daughter's probably going to be an airline pilot, because she's like, well, all Dad's friends are airline pilots. He's an airline pilot. How hard could it be? They're all dumb anyway, you know, so she's a teenager. But, yeah, I guess I'll be an airline pilot. Doesn't seem like it's that hard, Dad, you know. So, but yeah, I mean, to me, aviation's been so good to me that, you know, I want to be able to share that with everybody. And so if I get a chance to promote aviation, I definitely do it.
Out of curiosity, like, as I'm watching the Daytona 500, as I'm talking to you, I know a lot of the drivers use the simulators to kind of get a grasp of driving at different tracks and items like that. Are you able to use any kind of simulators to kind of get a grasp of maybe a new stunt or anything like that? Or is it just too impossible to program something like that?
I mean, for the air show side of it and stunts, no. For the racing side of it, yeah, we did. You know, we had developed, I mean, a lot of the teams had simulators. They're probably not quite as high tech as the, you know, Formula One stuff. And, you know, but, I mean, they would help a little bit, because, you know, we get a limited, very little time on that track. And so, you know, it's just visualizing everything makes a big difference, you know. And you know, okay, I need to, because we don't go straight through those gates. I mean, I know I need to be, you know, 25 or 30 degrees to the left when I go through that gate. And I need to do that the last second. And that, we would have a simulation of, say, Abu Dhabi, and I could see one of the taller buildings. I know that's where I need to be lined up on when I go through that gate, you know, because, right. again, you're not going straight through them. I mean, sometimes you would only if there's where you want to go is straight. But if I want to go off to the left, you know, I need to take the biggest angle that I can do. It's got to be balanced with, you know, not hitting the gate, too. But I need to take a huge cut through that gate, and it helps me to know where I need to be, you know, what I should be looking at, because the simulation will show all that. And it's funny, though, I mean, because, you know, my tactician, he would send it to me, and, you know, and you could see the optimal line. But then sometimes we'd have to go back and tweak it if the wind's different. I mean, because the computer, most of the time, it's pretty good. But it's not always exactly right, you know. And you know, I mean, there's many times that, you know, we would argue a little bit about it, because he's always like, the computer's right, da 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 da. You know, you can get one more G out of that, and I pull one more G, and the airplane would stall, you know. And I'm like, see? And he's like, damn, you know what I mean? So it's you know, it's that balance, you know, and working together with somebody, you know. So, you know, but most of the time, he was probably right, you know, that, right. yeah, I could get that one extra G out of it, or I could take that angle a little bit more, and I'd always be like, okay, well, yeah, you know, you take, why don't you get in the plane and try that and see how easy it is, you know, because so, it's easy to sit here and talk about it, you know, when you're going 200 miles an hour and taking the biggest angle you can through that gate and not hitting it, because, you know, we always say, you know, well, I mean, one degree, you miss the gate by an inch, you're a hero, and you touch the gate, and you're zero, you know, it's like, you're out. So, but you've got to balance that out. So, that's awesome. Yeah.
Kirby, you know, people ask me all the time about, like, you know, we've interviewed hundreds of guests. I mean, I don't know, a couple, 300, 400. You're always, the reason we always reach out is because we love having you on. You're a fascinating guy. You put out awesome content. And we just love having you on because it's just, you know, infinitely interesting, like, to really hear you talk about things, and especially things that me and Mike have no clue about. So it's, and I think the audience, most of them have no idea about. So it's really fun to pick your brain and get a different take each interview we've done with you, you know, kind of a different part of the business and whatnot. So we appreciate you coming on the show one more time, and we will be reaching out to you again sometime, probably around this time next year again. What are you working on? Is there anything that you could tell us about, or what's going on in your world, and where can people find you? What's the best place to follow you?
Yeah, okay, so a couple of things. Well, I appreciate all the nice words and all that, and I really do enjoy talking to you guys, and you guys make me laugh too, and you ask some cool and interesting questions, and so I appreciate that. And as far as, working, we're always trying to work on something. We've got a couple of things, and I don't want anybody else to do it. I'm trying to see if, you know, Red Bull will help us out in doing it. So it's something that I think will be really cool. But of course, it's, you know, like, the cool stuff sometimes is rather expensive, and it's going to take a lot. And it could be a little bit of a long project, because we have to develop an airplane to do what I want to try to do.
Jeez.
And
all right.
So, yeah, maybe, you know, I mean, that, like I said, it's probably a year long project if I can get it, you know, funded in order for them to do it. And so, so we're working on something. We'll see.
You need a reality show, man, where, like, someone's got to try to keep up with you and fly next to you, and like someone in the cockpit.
Like I said, there you go. You know, the only thing about the reality shows, a lot of times we've been asked to do those several times, and I'm always like, yeah, a lot of times they make you look kind of stupid. You know? So I'm like, yeah, I think I'll pass on the old reality thing.
Yeah,
a lot of times they look kind of hokey too, you know, some of that stuff. So,
no, yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, someday maybe.
So yeah, guys, go follow Kirby on Twitter. I believe it's at Kirby Chambliss. If not, you can use your old use Google to find him on whatnot and check out what he's doing. Kirby, it's always a pleasure. You're one of our favorites, and thanks so much again for giving us your time.
Thank you, guys. Enjoy your day.
Take Bye-bye. Care.
Thank you.
Mike, I would love to strap you in to the plane and just video a ride with Kirby. That's all. That would be one of my biggest wishes.
That would be our reality show, Scott. Yep. I feel Kirby needs a sidekick for all these adventures to keep it a good reality thing.
Kirby and Mike?
I figured we'd fly higher. We'd cut off the wings, less weight.
What if the reality show, there's no like fluff to it? All it is like taking the biggest meatheads and the toughest guys who think they're like, you know, their shit don't stink, and they just have to go in a plane with Kirby. And if they could last through the flight without like puking or getting scared, like there should be some kind of
crying.
They win money. If they don't, they just lose. That's literally the show.
That would be an awesome one, and all that'd be like an offshoot of like Fear Factor. We'll get Aaron Fitzgerald on board with us.
Right.
We got a few guests. I think we can make some money on this. Maybe we shouldn't put this out on the podcast. Got to store that on the side and I'll patent this thing.
What if we have like a gauntlet of all our guests and people have to do things with a bunch of our guests? So you get dance ballet with Aisha Ash. You have to fight Jim Miller. You have to spar with Jim Miller for a round. You have to
You have to do puppetry, the penis.
Make a cheeseburger.
But I'm a girl. Be quiet and do the task.
Get creative. It's 2020.
Yeah. If you want the 5 points for this round, you will make a hamburger right now.
It's more of a flank stank, but we'll take it. We'll take it. The one and only Kirby Chambliss, everybody. All right, my man, Mr. Kirby Chambliss, Mike Kirby Chambliss.
Good stuff, man. You think he does Princess Marathons?
Yeah. I think he does, I believe he does Princess Air Races, you know, like where they got to dress
up.
Yeah. Oh, it's Elsa flying a plane. Yeah, look at her go, you know. You know what you got to do? You got to, in order for you to go other places, you're going to have to trick your wife into that it's Disney thing. Be like, oh, yeah, it's Disney week in, you know, Cancun. Oh, yeah. And then, you know, get a couple fake custom shirts and be like, yeah, we're going. And then she gets there and sees no Disney stuff. And you're just like, well, you got to enjoy our vacation. So deal with it.
Yeah. No, seriously, honey. One of these furries is Minnie Mouse. I'm dead serious. That's why I brought you here.
This is okay? Like the secondary Disney. These are the test characters. You got to see if you like them.
Yeah. They're a little more humpy than the other ones, but just go with the flow. Just go with the flow.
But yeah, Kirby Chambliss is the man. I don't know. He's just I hope to have him on again next year. But so Kirby's a cool guy. You're a strange guy. And I've been dealing with, I feel like I've ran into a couple of strange people this week, and I kind of wanted to share some of the I don't know. I want to just get your take on this. First off, I come home today. I guess I can't say I dealt with this person, but I come home today and I open the mailbox and there is definitely someone printed this out. Okay. It is a paper that says Jesus underlined loves you with 2 exclamation points. He will underline give you life that never ends. 2 exclamation points. With a sticker, okay, with a sticker that someone definitely put on the paper that says, smile, Jesus loves you. So I'll show it to you there. You can kind of see it here. Here's a sticker.
Yeah, it's a smiley sun.
Yes.
On top of a rainbow that says, smile, Jesus loves you. Okay.
So
that was just shoved into your box?
Just shoved in my mailbox. No envelope, no like... no, hey, church of whatever, you know, like no advertising or no Jehovah's Witnesses, whatever. Come join us. No, nothing. Just somebody placing this in my box.
Maybe they got like a chain letter and they had to put like 100 of those out or else they'll have bad luck.
Do you think actual chain letters exist? Like someone's trying to keep it going, like... Oh, we gotta keep this tradition going, or people are gonna die.
I have seen some people do it because they're just so paranoid about like luck and odds and stuff like that. Where you're like, you know, this chain has probably been broken 8,000 times, and this is the same person shooting one out there. This is not like something that started in like 1900s or. Like the 1800s with like the Pony Express and all some some guy in like Wyoming has had to ride his horse for 18 hours just to hand off. So they, if you don't continue this mail, stop.
Let's start sending chain letters out and just see what happens. Let's send them to our guests. Let's send them to random people and like somehow make sure they have to like follow us or something like that and just see if they come back to us.
Send it to every New Jersey comedian podcast, and I know that's going to be the toughest part to get all of them.
Yeah. What do you mean? There's no podcast out there. But I don't know. So I'm guessing somebody was at home hand making these, because it's definitely like typed and printed on someone's like, you know, printer paper. It's not the most informative message. Jesus loves you. He will give you life that never ends. Now I don't know if I upset someone. Am I the devil and someone is trying to convert me? Do they hear this podcast? They're like, that's the devil's work over there on that in that house. Or is this just someone like, is this directed towards me, or is this just someone spreading this to everybody on the streets? Now, I don't know if anybody else got one.
Well, I mean, I got to think with effort, it's to everybody. I mean, I don't think that's a readily available sticker that's on your piece of paper. So,
oh, so you're thinking I got a valuable sticker is what you're saying.
I mean, I don't think it's just go to your dollar store and it's their sticker. I'm guessing somebody either created it or had like one of them deals, like the same place that like gives you 1,000 checks with different designs for like $10, you know, something to that extent.
So you think that there's a little bit of production involved in this?
Yeah, that's why I'd say probably a few people got it. Like, have you talked to any neighbors and say, hey, did you?
Not yet. Just picked it up today, like a half hour ago when I walked in the house or whatever. I went to the mailbox and this was in there. I thought maybe you sent it to me, Mike.
No, Jesus doesn't smile at you, buddy. Just in this direction, my friend. Sorry.
What if this was just like a love letter from a Mexican guy named Jesus?
Ooh.
Like, hey,
that's Jesus. Intriguing. I could see a TV show on Netflix on that one.
So, a second guy I ran into yesterday. So, I go to get gas. This was 2 days ago. I go to get gas in the morning, and I have my dog in the car, and he's in the passenger seat riding shotgun, and stop to get gas. And guy comes, what do you get? You know, let me get whatever, 20 regular, blah, blah, blah. Looks in the car and goes, oh, the dog, oh, cute dog. And I'm like, you know, that happens a bunch of times. Like, oh, yeah, cute dog. Like, oh, nice dog. But he just keeps going. Okay. So he's like, oh, he's so cute. Like, oh, he's really cute. Now, I don't know if this guy had some issues, but he stares at the dog. Meanwhile, he has not left the window to go pump said gas into the car. He's just standing there, eyeballing my dog this entire time.
So he's done no interactions other than get out of his vehicle and ogle Obi.
No. This is the gas attendant. This is the guy here in Jersey that pumps your gas, okay?
Yeah, and as a side note to our listeners, Jersey is one of two states where you can't pump your own gas, so you literally are in the control of this attendant.
Yeah, so you're at the will of the attendant here. So he's standing there, and then I'm like, I just want to get my gas and go. Now, he proceeds to get weirder. He goes, pulls out his phone, and goes, hey, do you mind if I take a picture of your dog? And I'm like, sure. Okay, take a picture of him. So he takes a picture of him. And he's like, good job. You know, takes two pictures. And then he proceeds to start showing me, and explaining to me that he has a collection of dog pictures of every dog that he has that he comes across in his work at the gas station. So, Mike, you pull up with your dog, boom, he's going to get your picture of you. And he starts scrolling through his phone, showing me, oh, this one came here yesterday. This one was cute. Starts scrolling in, oh, this one was the other day. This one's cute. Still, not a drop of gas going into my car at the moment, okay? And then he starts to explain how he takes the pictures home to his missus, he kept calling. She loves the dog. I get home and she's like, well, what do you got for me today? And I show her all the pictures that I got and proceeds to talk to me for probably about, I would say, honestly, probably about 5 straight minutes, which doesn't sound too long. But if I set a timer right now and I said, okay, go, and this guy's going to talk to you about your dog and dog pictures for 5 minutes while you're waiting to get gas, it's an extremely long time. What's your play?
Yeah.
What's your play here?
If he didn't bring up the missus, I'd be really scared about that. First off, I mean, you know, I mean, we've documented on the show me with dogs.
Mikey, you'd pull out your phone and be like, well, look at my collection.
Challenge accepted.
What are you doing later tonight? Want to come home for dinner?
You just see me at some dude's apartment all night. We're just on our phones comparing dog pictures together.
Other people's dogs, nonetheless.
Yeah, I mean, as we documented on the show and how I adore dogs and stuff like that, like, as much as I do, it's kind of like, oh, can I pet your dog, you know, scratch it and chat with the person a little bit. I don't go to the picture level. I think no, that's a next level where it's like, ooh, ew, yeah. Kind yeah. of like, that's almost like saying, oh, you got a cute kid. Can I take a picture of your kid?
Yeah, kind of that's what it things. Kind of felt
I know
like.
It's two different fields, but it's still like, ew, when you kind of do it.
That's essentially what it kind of felt like. It kind of felt like this is getting kind of borderline creepy at this point.
Yeah. I at least am calmed by the story where he's like, I take it home, I show it. I pray Missy is an actual thing. I hope it's not like a stuffed animal. Well,
see,
or
that's what I'm thinking.
Kidnapped.
Is he just giving me some crappy backstory? Cause, let me tell you something. He's going through these pictures, and there was an occasional picture of like a lamp or like a screenshot of something. not once did I see a Mrs.
Oh, that's such a good lamp right there. Yeah, I was at the Holiday Inn in Milwaukee. Such a good lamp. And, I mean, they kept on telling me, sir, we need your credit card. I'm like, but can I take a picture of the lamp?
Right. So didn't see any evidence of a missus.
So I'm going to give him a tiny bit of leeway on this, but that
the leeway's getting smaller.
we're getting at a level where I'm like, I'm somewhat giving you a pass, but I'm really staring at you saying, I'm not really sure if I should be doing this to you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So what's your play? How would you go about maybe moving on with your day and getting that gas in your car?
I mean, once he takes the picture, I would probably lean towards, hey, we're meeting up with somebody. Can you at least get him to start the interaction and continue talking to him so he doesn't – I'm not blowing him off, but he started the interaction of giving me gas.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's the key thing there. Maybe if it's getting to a point where he's, like, really infatuated, I'm like – you know, maybe I can get some free stuff and all. Hey, Callie, come up to the front seat. You know, oh man, you can watch her through the front, but my windshield's so dirty. You know,
can I tell you what my play was?
Of course.
My play was I went with the old fake phone call. Hold on, I gotta take this. Rolled up the window, rolled up the window as the guy sitting there with his phone in hand. And trying to give him the hint, like, oh, yeah, yeah. And then eventually the play did work. He did go back to the gas and start putting the gas in the car. And then I had to do the whole – I had to get my debit card, and I only rolled the window down like a third. Grabbed the card.
Like mathematically trying to figure out how short of a time do you hit that auto window where it – like literally you have to force the credit card. You're probably scratching off the numbers on the card just to shove it.
Yeah. So the play worked, but exceptionally strange guy. I don't know if he had his all, you know, all of it together. But a little weird, making me not want to go to that gas station again.
I was about to ask, was this the last time you're going to go there, at least in that time period?
I don't know, because it's hard to say. It's like the gas station that's like the most convenient and the closest to my house. Like, Like, it would be the one that you'd be like, okay, right before work, I got to gas up. It's the one that's right there on the route, and it's the only one, like, in that area. Otherwise, I'd have to go down the road a little bit, which is, like, I don't know, in the morning, it's a hard sell.
Is there enough pumps where they have multiple attendants where you got a shot and not seeing them again?
It's a good question, because I don't know if I've ever dealt with this guy. So now I don't know how many times he's worked. So I think my next play is, if I have the dog in the car, I'm just going to keep a blanket in the back and throw it over his head when I pull up to the...
I picked up a dying raccoon, and you don't want to touch his blanket. I know it smells like my dog from the last time, but seriously... Do not want to go this route.
I happen to have a blanket gallery on my phone. Can I take? That's a great blanket. Can I take a picture of that? But yeah. So that was weird incident number two. So I've been saved by Jesus, or asked to kind of. This didn't even ask me to do anything. Just informing me that Jesus loves me. But and then the last one was this woman. I had a show on Saturday. After my polar bear plunge, which went great. Our team raised over $5,000 for Special Olympics, so it was a good call. But I had a show, and I'm up there, I'm featuring, and I had a good set. And I go outside, kind of hang out outside in the hallway, outside the room, and, you know, the headliner went on and whatnot. And this woman, very, very tall woman, kind of very shiny disco-esque kind of shirt, comes out into the hallway and says to me, "Hey, really nice set," which is, you know, great. You know, that's exactly, "Oh, thank you so much. Thanks so much." Then she proceeds to say, "Well, you know, I am a speaker. I train speakers like for presentations and things like that." I'm like, "Oh, okay." And she's like, "You should try to hold," she's like, "You have a very memorable face, a memorable face." And she's like staring at me and like not blinking. I'm like, "What the?" You know, like just very weird, like emotionless face as she's saying this. And she's like, "You should really try to hold the microphone down near your stomach so your face, you know, like, so you're memorable, your face could be more memorable to the crowd." I'm like, "Oh, okay. Like, thanks." Like, I'm like, "Nice set would have been, you know, plenty enough. Thank you." So she goes into the bathroom, which was kind of like right next to where I was standing. And I'm talking to one of the other comics. I'm like, "Oh, this weirdo, like, came up to me and was like, 'Nice set,' and then told me, like, these directions on using a microphone. It's just really weird. Like, who says that?" Sure enough, 2 seconds later, she swings out of the bathroom and she's like, "You know, I'm sorry. That was a really weird thing I just said. I really didn't mean anything by it." Meaning that where I was standing was probably right next to where she was peeing. She probably heard me through the wall saying how strange this woman was. So then, okay, you know, no harm, no foul. Just a strange woman, strange interaction. Whatever.
Yeah.
Sure enough, so two of my friends came to the show. So I said, "Hey, just wait for me down. You know, the show's ending. Just wait for me for a minute, and we'll have a drink after the show." So I go down, sit with my two friends. Sure enough, there's my two friends to the right, me, and then there's two empty seats. Sure enough, guess who decides to sit in those two empty seats? Her and her very strange boyfriend. Now,
I thought I was going to guess Jesus lover and the gas.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, you been smiling?
Can I see a picture of your dog before I go? So she sits down. Now I'm doing the whole, so my two friends are to the right. So I'm doing the whole lean on my left elbow and kind of just talk to them, like really trying to put it out there that it, like, I don't want any conversation right now. And I could feel, the eyes kind of like leaning into my conversation and kind of peering. So she's listening to everything I'm saying to my friends, like about, they were asking me about the show and, you know, commenting on what comics they liked and whatever. And I go to take a sip of my beer, and sure enough, she's like, "Hey, you know, how you doing?" And she's like, "So how did you, how did you merge comedy into your life?" And like, this goes on like four different times. I'm trying to ignore and just like talk to my friends. What's the play here?
Yeah. Well, for starters, that is the weirdest way of asking how'd you get into comedy.
I know.
How did you merge your life into comedy?
I didn't know what she was talking about, because I think she was trying to ask me, because I do some jokes about like jobs I used to have, you know, like things I used to do. And I would be like, I'd talk about them and she's like, how did you merge your real life into comedy?
Yeah, that's a new one for me. As for the play, I guess you did it as good as humanly possible. I mean, if I had an awkward moment with someone, the last thing I would do is pick the two seats next to said person in a bar.
Yeah.
And I'm not really sure. I mean, granted, I would only had a cup of coffee doing stand up or whatever, but is that a normal thing where people want to sit next to the comedians and talk to them about?
I don't know. It happens occasionally, but this one was exceptionally weird, man. This one was like intrusive, and it was the end of the night. It was a late show. It was like 11:30 at this point. Like, you can clearly tell I don't want to talk anymore. If you want to, you know, many times I'll stay and say goodbye to everyone. Thanks for coming. I think, you know, thanks. But after that, don't follow us downstairs and start talking about it. It's over now. Like, I don't know. It was so much annoying that, like, we were going to get a second drink and hang out for a while. And it was just like, I'm going to wrap this up, guys. Like, I'm going to go. Because she wasn't relenting. She was just leaning in and just ready to have conversation and listening to everything we said, which was even more annoying.
Oh, God. Yeah. When you were pulling out the phone, was she like, is that your dog?
Oh, my husband works at the gas station up the street.
By the way, have you found Jesus yet?
Yeah, all the same person. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as you know for me, I mean, even though, like, once I'm comfortable with people, I'm kind of outgoing. When I don't know somebody, I'm kind of, like, in a shell. So that would make me extra awkward to begin with, let alone trying to deal with that. I think the only thing you could really do is just concentrate on your own conversation, and anything that they try to like sneak in on is just one word answers back, you know?
Yeah, it was brutal. It kind of ruined the end of the night. I was just like, two of these friends, like, one had never seen me play, and the other I don't get to see too often. So it was like kind of a bummer. And it was like, it was late to the point where we weren't going to go like somewhere else, you know, like it was, we're going to have a drink and get out of there. We weren't going to go to another place at that point. So yeah, those are the weirdos I dealt with this week. So it just seems to be.
So I have curiosity for you. If you had to rank the three, who is the worst weirdo and who's the most livable weirdo?
Well, Jesus person, I don't know. So I guess I would have to live with them. You know, they're okay. Yeah. Maybe they're just trying to spread positivity. You know, maybe I'm being mean to them right now. Maybe they're just trying to tell me and bring Jesus into my life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Put him in there, Shamrock Satan.
I don't know. I think the most annoying was probably the woman at the comedy show. Like, you know, leave me. The guy at the gas station might have had some issues. You know, life might not be that great to him as it is. So these dog pictures might just be getting him through. But lady, you just saw me perform for 25 minutes and watch the whole rest of the show, and it's the end of the night, and clearly I don't want to talk about comedy. Like, I never talk about comedy unless it's with comics or like with you or something like that. It's just like, please, just leave me alone. Like, just go away. But yeah, she would be the most annoying. Actually,
the moral of the story, everyone, is when you see Scott, shut up and keep going. Just clap for him, say bravo, wonderful comedy, and then leave the room.
Correct. Exactly. Now you're getting it.
Yeah. Even if he's not the headliner, even if he's like, you know, he's hosting the show. Like, once he brings up the next comic, leave the room.
Yeah. That's kind of how we do it at all my shows. Yeah. You leave early. Actually, you know, the most annoying person or thing might have been my dog. Okay, real quick before we kind of wrap this up. So I'm walking yesterday. I just knocked a ukulele over.
A sentence that you hear on every podcast. I just knocked a ukulele down.
Yeah, see? I just knocked this ukulele over. Maybe I'll tell the story while playing the ukulele.
Don Ho tells the weird classic.
All right, here we go. All right. We're going to improvise here. All right. So, walking in the woods.
Walking in the woods.
With my friends.
With my buddy OB.
And my dog. Okay, so we're going for a hike. Okay, I can't do that at the same time.
We went on a hike.
I can't do that at the same time. But we're walking, and my dog... he's had some hip issues, so we've been really getting him back out there, and he's been doing really well with the hikes. And so he's been doing well with the hikes. We walk a long walk. He's doing great. He's keeping up with us. He's doing longer than I've pushed him in a while. And on this trail, it was an absolutely gorgeous day in Jersey yesterday. And on this trail, occasionally there are horses. And you'll see them. We actually saw three people riding horses. People will bring their horse, and you're allowed to walk the trails with them. My dog's like, whoa, you know, like that's a huge dog. but so my dog, we get to the very end. We're about maybe a quarter of a mile to the end of the trail, and there is a huge pile of horse crap. My dog decides that it's the end of the trip to go up to it and smell it. I'm like, no. Sure enough, he does a full barrel roll. Like if it was slow motion, his shoulder would have hit the crap. He rolls completely over, and then he's on his back just shimmying in the horse crap.
He didn't just roll in it. He's like, I'm going to the next layer of fur.
Yeah.
Kind of.
And everybody knows what horse crap smells like. It is extremely potent. So I'm like, no, you idiot. No. So he's walking. He's got pieces of horse dung all over him. And I'm like, this is absolute brand new collar I got him. He's got horse crap on it. So I march him to a stream. There's a stream there. I'm like, get in the water. And I dunk him in the stream. I'm splashing water on him. I had a robe in the car from the polar plunge the day before, and I'm using that to soak up as much as I can. I smell. We got to drive back with the windows open. I got to throw my dog into the tub. Miserable
and
sequence.
This is your new vehicle, too.
Yeah. This is a couple-month-old car, so I'm making sure that he stays on the blanket that I have from the bank. And windows down the whole time, just getting wafts of horse dung just blasting through the car. It was a great experience as far as he was perfect the whole time. I was so proud of him for keeping up with us and things like that, and then just blast into horse crap. So yeah, he's the most annoying of all the weirdos I came in touch with this week.
So out of curiosity, when you saw him like sniffing, he yelled no. Were you more worried he was going to eat it, or did you know what was coming?
He has done this poo roll before, once or twice, like not many times, but I've seen him like on his back or in the woods, all of a sudden rolling around, and then he'll get in the car and I'm like, oh god, you stink, dude, and have to give him a bath. So I guess I was afraid of the poo roll, but he definitely did do a little tasting, if you will, a little sample, which he never does either. And sure enough, later I'm like, I completely kind of forget about it, hanging with my dog later at night. And, I'm a creep. I let my dog lick me and things like that. And the dog's like, in my face. I'm like, oh, good night, buddy. And my wife's like, he ate shit before. Like 10 minutes. I'm like, oh. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's kissing me, so it's fine.
Yeah. It's neutralized.
It's clearly out of his mouth. He ate it. It's in his stomach.
My dog eats crap. My dog
then
eats crap.
Then he kisses me.
My dog eats crap. He's a dirty dog. But, yeah. So that was some of the things that happened to me this week. But, Berlo, it's time to put this one to rest. You got to get to planning your next Disney vacation and ordering custom shirts for next year and figuring out ways to deny that you're not going to Disney every year for the rest of your goddamn life.
true. And you're going to go back to your life of people wanting to talk to you after shows and smell reeking of horse crap from dog's mouth.
Yeah, that's fine.
that's why we make the perfect pair. I mean, we tried to put that as the title of the show, but it was way too long, so we just shortened the verbal shenanigans.
that's the real meaning behind it. Berlew, let's get out of here. Anything to promote before you skedaddle?
I went to this new place. Great people I met up with. They make mead. It's called Leprechauno Meadery. They work out of the Dry County Brewing Company's tap house on Monday nights, 5 to 9. But they provide me today with some really amazing drinks and all. I love some of them. I believe one was called Quesadaba, which was like a kind of like an alcoholic macchiato, but it was creamy, kind of like a, I mean, mead is a honey wine. It was so clean, delicious, absolutely fun talking with them. They said they're going to check out the podcast. I told them about Lenny Dykstra and Mark Summers, so they're going to check us out. But I'll also promote for them, they're doing a release of one of their new meads, which is called Asleep in the Deep. It's going to be happening in Marietta. Let me try to quickly grab the details. It's going to be at Schisma Cellars in Marietta on March 7th. Really great people. I will definitely try to get them on another Monday when we're not scheduled with an interview. It's called Leprechauno Meadery.
Awesome. So go to the Leprechaun Meadery.
Leprechauno.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, so the Leprechaun Meadery, everyone. I'm going to I'm going to promote an old sponsor of ours because it's been a while, and I've been associated with them for a while, and that's our friends at Trivia Revolution. If you are in Jersey, basically any night of the week, our friends at Trivia Revolution have trivia nights going on in all different locations. There's some craft beer themed questions there. There's also, you could win a craft beer gift certificate. Even if you were in last place, they do a really nice job. And that is a Trivia Revolution fueled by craft beer. So go check them out if you're into playing trivia. It's a fun night out. I used to host there a lot, not so much too often anymore, but they're good friends of ours. So Trivia Revolution.
And I'm going to add to your thing, if you're interested in this, go on Facebook for Trivia Revolution, because they give you a little helpful hints. If you bring a special item of the week, you get 5 points to start the game off. So there you go.
True. Yeah. So I guess that's it, guys. I want to thank Kirby Chambliss, everybody. Red Bull Air Race Pilot.
In the air.
He's a Red Bull Air Race Pilot, guys.
Doing the podcast.
Now.
Like you just don't care.
If you guys could do us a favor.
What's that?
And leave us a review. And leave us a review. On iTunes. Because it helps populate the podcast. And if you leave us a review, it's the thing to do on our podcasts. It really helps us. So listen to us, Discovery County Network, and comingrightup.org, and Denville Radio. Okay, I'll stop. Guys, it's been fun. I want to thank Kirby Chambliss. Go check us out. Go look at our other episodes. Listen to them. And most of all, share them with your friends, guys. Life is funny.
Check us.
What do you got?
Check us out on Spotify.
We are on Spotify now. So go check us out. Just type Verbal Shenanigans in. Guys, it's been fun. This year has been really great. And if you have ideas for guests, let us know or put us in contact with them. Guys, life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back. Peace out.
Later. Going back to Disney.